Look, we'd like to call to order this Committee on Labor and Industrial Relations. We have one bill on the docket. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Mendoza?
Here.
Mendoza here, Stone. Stone here, Jackson.
Here.
Jackson here. We have a quorum.
Great. We do have a quorum. Assemblymember Williams, please proceed with your bill.
Mr. Chairman, Senators, it's great to be back. This last week, the committee heard extensive testimony about this important bill. Specifically, this bill will resolve piece rate pay issues in a way that will, number one, reach more workers and provide larger back pay recoveries. Number two, relieve employers of related liability and that insecurity that could affect many businesses. And number three, clarify compensation requirements going forward in a way that both protects the rights of workers and provides clear and manageable rules for employers. The chairman and I have worked hard in the interim to address concerns that were raised and bring this bill back to the committee in print with changes addressing many of those concerns. With these amendments, the consumer attorneys and new car dealers have withdrawn their opposition. The amendments agreed by consumer attorneys make it clear that the bill is neutral on attorneys' fees and that the amendments taken at the request of the new car dealers provide that the new car dealers are no longer part of the bill's provisions related to the accelerated back payment of wages, relief from specified penalties, and temporary tolling of the statute of limitations. So let's make that clear. They don't get the benefits or the drawbacks of the bill, but we have an unusual coalition of labor employers and employers, including two of California's most prominent agricultural companies, as well as the administration supporting the bill. And I have a couple witnesses for you.
Great, thank you. Witnesses in support, again, since we're in the middle of all kinds of other bills that we're working on, appreciate your brevity, thank you.
I will be brief. David Lanier, Secretary of Labor for the Governor for the administration. Happy to be here. Wanna echo what the author said, thank the committee and the committee staff for their hard work. I believe the issues that were raised last week have been addressed. And I want to just note for the record that if this bill is enacted and upon enactment of this bill, something really remarkable will happen in this state, and it will happen for tens of thousands of low-wage piece rate workers, and it will happen for hundreds of employers. And the employers will be relieved of very significant liability has put some of them out of work, and those tens of thousands of workers will receive payments that they have no idea are coming, that are well deserved. That will be a good outcome from this bill. And in the future, those workers will be protected, which is the lasting outcome of the bill, as we remove disincentives for rest in an industry, in industries and in a work payment methodology under piece rate, where that's critical, it's been long sought. The administration's in strong support of the bill and wanna thank the employers and worker representatives that came together to reach this compromise.
All right. Thank you. Others in support.
Mr. Chairman and members, Barry Broad on behalf of the Teamsters and Machinists. We obviously were deeply involved in negotiations because we have probably the lion's share of workers in the state that are paid on a piece rate, except those probably in field agriculture, but in the jurisdiction of the Teamsters and Machinists. We think that the amendments to the bill have addressed the issues that were raised the other day, and we strongly urge support for the bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Angie Way on behalf of the California Labor Federation. We've worked for probably close to three decades to try and get the rest breaks paid out of the piece rate so that we can incentivize workers, help support workers to be able to take rest breaks as they deserve. So we've been fighting for this provision. It's actually one of the first bills I worked on when I joined the Federation 16 years ago. So we're very pleased that that provision is moving forward. We also think that the bulk of the bill really does help deliver money to workers faster. And that is always our goal, to make workers whole, get them their back wages as fast as we can, and this bill achieves that goal. We appreciate the dedication, the work of the administration in slogging through this issue, and many of the parties who have been involved in negotiating, and we'd ask for your support.
Thank you.
Alex Rooker with Communication Workers of America. I'm happy to say that AT&T absorbed or took over DirecTV, so that will be hopefully our workers in the future, and they are going to write the wrongs of the past administration. So I'm happy to be here in support, and thank you very much, Doss, and to everybody at this table.
Thank you. Any other witnesses in support? Please step forward.
Good afternoon. Melissa Poole on behalf of the wonderful company, formerly Paramount Farming. We're here in support and ask for your iVote. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Marla Livingood on behalf of the California Strawberry Commission, and we are in support and we ask for your iVote. Thank you.
Mr. Chair and members, Mike Belode on behalf of the California Employment Law Council. Our clients have adopted a support if amended position. And if I could take just a moment to talk about the final issues for us.
Great.
A week ago, I said that there were that this was a worthy effort and an important issue, and I meant it. There is logic behind compensating people for the rest period at the average hourly rate because it does take away a disincentive from using the rest period. I also said there were ambiguities in the bill, and our lawyer members spent much of the weekend analyzing the bill and pointing out those ambiguities. We submitted a request for 5 amendments early this week, and at this point, none have been included in the bill. And one, at least, I am now advised by the proponents, is quite controversial. That is the obligation to pay an average hourly wage for rest periods going back. So let's leave that aside. I now understand how controversial that is. But there are amendments that we are seeking, which we think would make a better bill. I am not naive. I understand that the bill has been meticulously debated and crafted. So I'm not unrealistic here. But we believe that you would have a better bill if a couple of issues were resolved. And the biggest one is the question on a going forward basis of recording rest period minutes. You should be aware that never in our experience has there been an obligation to record the number of minutes of a rest period that is different from the meal period. And the bill is, in my view, ambiguous as to the obligations of an employer going forward to actually record and show on a wage statement, a pay stub, the number of minutes taken for a rest period. This is a big change in the law. It will be a big problem for employers and employees because the temptation will be to somehow document the number of minutes taken for rest periods so that you don't have a later allegation that the pay stub is inaccurate. Section 226 pay stubs have been a big area of litigation, and so I'm afraid without that clarification especially, you will have litigation going forward on pay stub accuracy. We, the employers, agree and are willing to pay the extra amount for the rest period. That is not the issue. The question is, do you have to record the number of minutes on the pay stub and be able to prove it or face a pay stub accuracy action later? So we would respectfully ask, understanding where you are in the legislative process, that and other technical amendments be adopted to make the bill better. With that, I appreciate your time.
Mr. Chair and members, Matthew Allen with Western Growers Association. We've had a supportive amended position on AB 1513. However, we still have some unresolved questions in regards to the addition of the attorney's fees provision, and so we're evaluating that. Our position could change. However, I would like to go back to a suggested previous amendment that we had on section G5. It's on page 10, and we're very disappointed right now that employer continues to be singled out individually based on a simple allegation. This employer will not have the opportunity to avail themselves of the safe harbor provisions provided in AB 1513. We think it's simply wrong to deny one business this opportunity that other businesses are able to avail themselves of the safe harbor provision in order to go back and make their employees whole. So we would ask you to revisit that amendment. Thank you.
Great. Yeah, I know we're going to have some more opposition coming forward. Great. Make your comments. Try to be as brief as possible because we have other committees that are voting right now. Are we still in support? Okay.
I thought yeah.
we were. Okay.
One, real quickly.
People support.
Tim Schmelzer with Wine Institute, and we just want to associate ourselves with the comments made by Mr. Belote and encourage the committee to consider those technical fixes that were discussed. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, any others in support? Okay, opposition, please, in support?
I'll support.
I'll support. Go ahead and say your name and.
Yeah, my name is Dan Correa. Have a company I started 30 years ago, a trucking company, and we've been in one of these suits where I was being sued because in the spelling of my name, there was a gap between the S and the T, which he said then was not the real name of my company. So it's those technical things that are just killing us. Mm. Another company that just settled, he had a $90,000 error with all the penalties turned into $14 million. It's putting companies like mine out of business, and those 140 people are losing all those benefits.
Thank you for sharing that.
Lorenzo Alvarez with Case Industries, just to let you know, we're in support of this bill as well.
Thank you.
Al Adler, the president of AVA Energy and the Aviator Casino in Delano, and we're in support of the bill, and again, urge you to view this as a huge job-saving bill. Thank you.
Bob Grayson, I'm the owner of Rival Well Services in Bakersfield. Been in the oil business for probably 40 years. Poured everything that I've had into back in to create my business. I'm now the victim of one of these PAGA lawsuits, and it essentially could put me out of business and cause 35 to 50 people to lose their jobs over the frivolous lawsuits that are going on with these technicalities on check stubs and whatnot. So I'm in great support of this bill. Thanks.
Good afternoon. Tony Correa with Atlas Crane and Rigging in Kern County, and we just want to show our support for this bill.
Hello, I'm Ed Deo with Westar, and we're asking for support in this bill and try to keep companies stay in California. Thank you.
Hello. Walter Lopez with Atlas Crane and Rigging. I want to ask if you can support the bill. We support it as well. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Any others in support? Any others that might be neutral?
Be happy to. Mr. Chair and members, Cliff Costa on behalf of the California New Car Dealers Association. I'd like to thank the chair, his staff, the author, his staff, the proponents of the bill, the administration for working with us and for getting our amendments in the bill. We are very happy to see them. We're happy to see them in print, and we are removing our opposition from the bill and are now neutral. So I want to say thank you.
Thank you. Any others in, we have any opposition? Still neutral?
Still neutral. Savina Tagger with the Consumer Attorneys of California. We were opposed unless amended. We want to thank the chair, the committee, and the author for working with us, and we are now neutral.
Great. Thank you. All right. Any others in neutral? Okay, let's go ahead and go with opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. And regretfully, I'm up here opposing this important piece of legislation. And I want to recognize the efforts of the author, Secretary Lanier, Mr. Lightstone, and other people who I've known for many, 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 many years. But the problem my clients have with this legislation, and I represent both Fowler Packing and Growen Farms, is the process. Anyone who's been in Sacramento for 5 minutes knows that if you're opposed to 1513, you roll over to the governor's office, express your opposition, and you're likely to get a carve out. And that happened in case after case after case after case, except for my two clients, who the price of neutrality was throwing them under the bus. Somebody said that when I told them that I was representing both Growen and Fowler, they said, you represent the bad actors. Well, if these guys are bad actors, let me tell you that these are two of the best agricultural employees in the state of California. How many agricultural employers, how many provide tuition to the students or their employees if they want to get a college education? How many provide tuition if they want to go to parochial school? A 24-hour clinic that's open to everybody. Cafeterias.
Mr. Arenas, can you stick to the to the bill, please. And I know it's, you didn't say your name in the beginning, so it's the rest of your race,
right.
But I appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right, be as brief as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And you know, one last thing. The reason that these employers have such great relationships with their employees is they work with them, they speak Spanish, their wives speak Spanish, they work day in and day out with them. They even put the picture of the person who packs the fruit on the outside of the boxes. And when these boxes arrive in Latin America, many times there are marriage proposals that show up at the office for whoever packed this particular fruit, which is kind of an amusing
beats Match.com, doesn't it?
Yeah. What's that?
I said it beats Match.com, doesn't it?
Well, you know, it's sort of the Packer version of Match.com, but I don't know if there's been a successful match yet, Senator, but, you know, we're still hoping. Anyway, I think the process is flawed. Why should an allegation get a carve-out? Why should an allegation get a carve-out when it could be frivolous? Listen, I know that a lot of organizations and a lot of companies are dependent on this legislation, and I can count. I learned to count a long time ago, and I know what the result is going to be here. But I want to tell you that these carve-outs are unconstitutional, and this legislation will not stand. It won't stand as it relates to the carve-outs, and it may not stand in its entirety, which would be a tragedy. So I ask for no vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, any others in opposition? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and bring it back to the committee. I know that Senator Jackson has some questions, and then we'll follow with Vice Chairman Stone.
Yeah, Angie Way mentioned that she's been working on this issue for years, it reminds me of the 30-year overnight success. Obviously, this has been a long, tough slog, and I commend all the parties for their efforts. And I know we had this hearing last week, and it's kind of like whack-a-mole, too. You take out one problem, you get another. I'm going to support the bill today because I think this is much better than the alternative. On the other hand, I also am feeling the same frustration as we enter these last couple weeks of session where suddenly everything takes on an urgency. One might argue, well, that's the only way we get things done here that are difficult. The other may argue that we can really make a lot of mistakes because things aren't thoughtfully vetted. I mean, there's a reason that we have process. That being said, I would ask that going forward that we certainly start with this. This, I think, is a great start. But there are, it sounds to me, like some issues that still need to be addressed, that this should not be the end of the discussion. I believe Mr. Belote expressed a couple that I thought made some sense that should be looked at, and that with the hope that going forward, you will address some of these additional questions. I will be happy to move the bill. But again, it's not a perfect bill, but I think it's definitely been a hard-fought and I think productive battle that still needs to be continued going forward. So with that, I want to thank the author and I want to thank all of you for the hard work you did. This has not been easy, and I'm glad I wasn't the one having to do the negotiation.
Great, thank you. Vice Chairman Stone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the hard work that's gotten into the most recent version of this bill, and I'm glad to see that some of the opposition has been addressed with amendments. I'm happy that the new car dealers are out of it. I'm happy that AT&T has been mitigated. But I obviously still have some concerns. I'm perplexed as to why some of the amendments suggested by the California Employment Law Council, as articulated by Mr. Belote, were not taken. And in particular, which I think is very important, I heard a lot of people get up and speak that they think that the Section 226 issue has been mitigated, it's been fixed. Frankly, I think it's gray. I don't see that it's been fixed. And I hope that it is. So resolving ambiguities about the need to track the actual minutes taken by an employee for rest and recovery periods if the employer is paid an average hourly wage for those periods is one of the amendments that has been requested. I hope we can provide some clarity, because it's very upsetting to me that I hear that because of a space between somebody's name on a pay stub, that it allows for a frivolous lawsuit to extract $14 million and in a worst-case scenario actually puts companies out of business. I think we all should say that this is unacceptable. Making clear that the calculation of average hourly rates do not include time not actually worked, including PTO, vacation pay, sick pay, etc. Also providing additional time for employees to reprogram systems to create an AB 1513 compliant pay stubs, as was suggested. But I also have some other questions, and I'd like to know why these amendments haven't been taken, but also, if I can, of the author. It seems as though there's winners and there's losers in this bill. And I really want to be supportive of it, but other than Fowler Packing, are you aware of one other employer who falls under this liability carve-out? I'm going to read the questions to you first, and if you maybe keep track of them a little bit, I'll be happy to repeat them. Are you aware that the only case, the Fowler case, was filed by Mario Martinez, who is also the general counsel for the UFW? And why is there a carve-out which eliminates the affirmative defense for claims filed before March 2014? What is the legislative purpose for making safe harbor available to some employers but not others? DirecTV was sued before March 1st, 2014. What was the purpose of creating an exception to carve out by the amendment that would protect that company but no others sued before March 1st of 2014? And explain to me why DirecTV gets a special treatment but no others, such as Garawan, who were also sued before March 1st of 2014.
Well, I got to say, I'm a little confused by all the dates. I'd have to have you show me on a piece of paper. But to address your first question on the amendments brought by the employer law attorneys, one of the concerns with those would be that it would remain the question of whether all of the break was actually paid for. So that was the concern, the aggregated concern in those amendments. I'd happy to have my witnesses elaborate, but that is the biggest issue, I suppose. Look, you know, I do think anytime you give AT&T or any other employer 4 months, then you're obviously going to have sometimes some other people ask for 4 months, and at some point you're going to have to say no. We're trying to do the best that we can for workers and employers without blowing up the deal for one side or the other. And that's what this comes down to. I mean, a strange thing happened to me the other day. I was walking into the floor, and Shannon Grove threw her arms around me. That has never happened to me quite with the same intensity that it happened last week. I didn't even know why until she just said, thank you, you are saving hundreds of businesses from going out of business. I think there is, if we had more time, we probably could button it down better, but we don't. A lot of these businesses are going to continue to face some of those lawsuits, some of them well-placed, some of them frivolous. But this provides a win-win instead of a lose-lose, a win-win of workers getting the wage and employers being protected instead of the lose-lose of one of those two parties being shut down.
Is it your opinion that prospectively the Section 226 issues have been mitigated and there will be no more ambiguities and hence no more lawsuits against these companies?
That is my understanding, but I'll let one of my attorneys comment.
Senator Stone, let me address the issue of Section 226. There is a larger question that all employers have raised about Section 226 and these minor errors that could lead to liability. Assemblymember Hernandez has a bill that deals with that issue that I believe has gone to the governor. It may have already gone to the governor. It's not controversial. That deals with that issue. In this instance, the issue that was raised by the employers and that was addressed in this amendment was trying to make sure that a requirement to separately list different types of pay, which is current law. So on your paycheck, just like everybody paycheck, it says, you know, this is your regular hours, there's your overtime hours, here's your vacation time, here's your sick time, whatever different classes of pay you receive is supposed to be noted on the pay stub. And that's always been the law. And that is not controversial with employers and isn't an issue of like questions of frivolous lawsuits. The issue here was whether we were accidentally requiring the same information to be printed twice on the same pay stub, and we're not. And that's what this clarifies. With regard to some of your other questions, particularly with regard to the amendment involving AT&T and DirecTV, there is no special consideration on the dates going backwards for AT&T. They get no relief from liability. What happened here is that they bought a very large company nationally. Mm-hmm. They have to reprogram their computers. Under this amendment, they have a little bit of extra time to reprogram their computers, but they still have to pay the workers all of the pay that they are entitled to receive under this statute. It gives them a little extra time to probably, they're probably going to have to do this nationally. So there's a reasonable argument that they face a sort of special situation, and that's what it deals with. But it only deals with the question going forward. It doesn't afford them particular liability. As to your question about whether this singles out another employer, I don't know how many employers we don't know how many lawsuits are out there. There's no count of them unless people come forward and say, I have one, or I have one against me. I will say the issue of the allegation here about that is in that requirement about having ghost employees goes to the very good faith nature of the calculation. And here this is an affirmative defense. So the employer essentially makes a motion to be relieved from liability under the affirmative defense. But the allegation here is of such seriousness that if it were proved true, that it would obviate the defense. So it probably just the case goes forward until they finish litigating that issue, no matter what. That's all it really means. And so I don't think it's particularly burdensome, but it is a particularly serious kind of allegation that there are people on the books that never worked there.
So, Mr. Beloit could respond. I'd appreciate that.
Okay, we'll kind of be as brief as possible. And I think we're at the point where we're ready to go ahead and start taking up the measure for our vote, but we'll go ahead and let
thank you.
Mike Beloit again for CELC. I'm not sure Mr. Broad and I really disagree very much. We agree that the each separate type of compensation has to be separately listed on the pay stub. The only clarification I was seeking is some language that says, having paid that and shown it on the pay stub, the employer is under no obligation to ensure that it was taken and document the actual number of minutes taken in the rest period. And so I'm not sure we're really that far apart. This is an ambiguity in the bill, I think, that would make the bill better. Whether it happens today or in a cleanup bill, I understand. But I think you would have a better bill if that was clarified.
Great. Well, thank you. We do have the opportunity in the future to do some cleanup on the same measure as we move forward. But as for today, I think it's a great opportunity to go ahead and begin to take the first steps to making sure that we provide enough protection to our for our workers, especially going forward, and making them whole going backwards and make sure that they have the compensation they deserve. There is one more question. Senator Little.
Just a very brief comment, Mr. Chair. Thank you. I want to associate my comments with yours as well as with Senator Jackson's, that we've made a lot of progress just in the past week. So thank you for being attentive to all that was said at the first hearing, the most recent hearing, and that likely the conversation does continue. But first and foremost, the workers will get paid finally after all of these years of waiting, and as many side issues have been attended to as possible. So congratulations. I'll be voting for the bill.
Great. I would like to entertain a motion.
So moved.
Okay, we have a motion by Senator Jackson. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Motion is that the measure be returned to the Senate floor for consideration. Mendoza?
Aye.
Mendoza, aye. Stone?
No.
Stone, no. Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Leno?
Aye.
Leno, aye. Mitchell?
Aye.
Mitchell, aye.
Great. 4-1, the measure is out, and we'll see it on the floor. Thank you all for being here. Have a nice day.